Whether you're booking award tickets for one person or a large family, always confirm with the airline that there's award availability before you transfer your points. But how do you even know what airlines to begin checking with? That's where Award Logic comes in handy. With Award Logic, you just enter your starting and ending airports, and their search engine will let you know what routes are available, how many points you need, and what kind of points you need. You can even set flight alerts for trips you're looking to take in the future. Check out Award Logic and get a free trial by going to geobreezetravel.com/awardlogic. Thank you to Award Logic for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. You know that annoying gift card issue where you have about $4.23 left on your restaurant gift card and you're not sure what to do with that? With Flues, this is never an issue because you can buy gift cards for the exact amount you need on the spot while earning elevated cashback rates through the purchases. I personally use Flues all the time, and I have earned thousands in cashback through different Flues promotions over the years. If you'd like to earn up to 35% cashback on gift cards, download Flues today at geobreezetravel.com/flues or by using the link in the show notes, and you'll receive 3 vouchers for 35% cashback each. Thank you to Flues for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipina-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
Companion Pass is hard to beat. My wife and I have kind of switched off having it for the past probably 6 years since around the time I started. And they're just super great for family travel. You know, they've got the family boarding, which is awesome, so that everybody sits together and it's not like, you know, Spirit where you either buy the tickets or some people don't and then they end up separated and it gets a little awkward. But they're free bags. They have an awesome change cancellation policy also. So kind of one of the things that I've done in the past, when Spirit entered our market in Austin, I booked a trip on Spirit and I was a little bit afraid because, you know, they have a reputation and I didn't know, I'd never flown them. So I booked a flight with Spirit and it was to catch a cruise. You know, if your flight doesn't make it, like you're in trouble because you're going to miss the cruise, right? So I'm like, I can't miss the cruise. So it was to Miami or Fort Lauderdale. And so booked a flight on Spirit and I booked a backup on Southwest. And the Spirit flight had a layover in New Orleans. And I was like, okay, I booked actually a backup from Austin and a backup from New Orleans, just in case on Southwest, because you can cancel it like 10 minutes before the flight leaves and get a full refund of all the points and all the cash and everything, the taxes and all that.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Jared Morales from Let's Go Travel Dad. Jared and his wife have 4 children, all boys. They love travel and having a large family. He has a day job in IT and helps his wife with a thriving health and wellness coaching business. Jared is also one of the moderators for the Award Travel 101 and 201 Facebook groups, as well as the Travel Grumps group, a place to vent about the hard moments of traveling. He recently started writing for the Award Wallet blog, and he writes about travel for Eastside Magazine in Austin, Texas. In this episode, Jared and I discuss how larger families can make points and miles work for them, whether it's how to find 6 award seats on the same plane, saving on booking multiple rooms, or other tips and tricks that make travel easier when you have 4 kids in tow. If you have a large family, food costs at the airport can add up, but the Capital One Venture X can help. With the Capital One Venture X, you can add your spouse or significant other as an authorized user, and you can each bring 2 guests into the airport lounges covered by the Venture X card for free. That means all 6 of you can enter into the lounge and have unlimited food all through 1 credit card. Remember, if you decide to apply for the Capital One Venture X or any other card, never, ever, ever apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. If you're interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. We have the links for the Capital One Venture X for you and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Hey, Jared, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me. I am excited to chat with you.
I am excited to chat with you as well. And I know a lot of people are probably really interested in hearing this particular episode because we get a lot of questions about, hey, does this still work if I have like two or three or four children? And it can be done. So today we are going to talk about your best travel tips for large families, especially in the world of points and miles. Before we get into all of that, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your background and how did you get into the lovely game of points and miles?
Yeah, so I started down the road of points and miles when I was working in higher ed, nonprofit, which was a very meaningful job, but it was also nonprofit pay. And so as my family grew and we had more and more children, we have four kids now. My wife and I have four kids now. So there's six of us. It got really expensive to go anywhere. It got expensive to go out to dinner, much less travel somewhere. So my wife and I both have an adventurous spirit. We like traveling, we like exploring, we like doing things. We did that before kids and we wanted to continue to do that with them. To be able to do that, we had to figure out something else. And so I found a War Travel 101, Richard Kerr and that whole team. And he was just kind of had this way of explaining things that made a lot of sense. And they kind of broke it down and made it really easy. And he's kind of a good old boy that just made it sound like, man, if Richard can do it, I think I could probably do this too. So I got the Chase Sapphire Reserve when it first came out, 100K offer. Didn't know what I was doing with it, but I got it because it sounded great. And it really was. I didn't know how good it was back then, right? How many of us would love to see 100K on that card again? That would be nice. And so I got that card. And that's kind of what started me down the road of points and miles. And for a long time, a lot of my redemptions were, you know, maybe Chase Travel Portal, a little bit of Southwest here and there. I didn't really start digging into it until probably 2-ish years ago and kind of was like, I really like this. It's like a puzzle. And that's kind of how my brain works. I work in IT now. And so it's kind of how my brain works is I like a puzzle. And so this felt like a really cool puzzle with some really, really big rewards. And so I was like, yeah, let me figure this out. So I really kind of became a student of it, started studying it, reading on it, listening to podcasts like yours, and just kind of really loving it and love learning it, and was still timid a little bit to actually, you know, make these big redemptions. And so that took a little bit longer for me to kind of come around to that. But my family has done some pretty amazing things lately. And it's been really exciting. And so I also, I'm a moderator for the Award Travel 101 Facebook group and 201 and also Travel Grumps, which is an interesting group. It's just a place for people to go and air their complaints, you know, because people have them. So it's kind of a safe place to complain. It's kind of interesting, but it's a good place. But yeah, super helpful group, great group of people. Started writing a little bit for Award Wallet, the blog. That was a really helpful blog and still is has been for a long time. And then also started doing some writing for a little magazine. So there's a kind of a local Austin magazine and they were like, hey, we want to start a travel section. It's called East Side Magazine. We want to start a travel thing. And so, you know, destinations from Austin, here's what you can do in a weekend. And so started writing for them and that's just been really fun. Had some cool opportunities. Earlier this year, we went to Sonoma, kind of a traded a trip for a story sort of thing. And so we did some things that I would never do probably on my own. And that's kind of a travel hack that's like a little bit outside points and miles world, I guess. But it was really interesting. We went to a place called the Wing and Barrel Ranch that was a place to preserve the art of sport. And so it was like shooting clays, sporting clays, and that kind of thing. The membership was $125K a year. Not my speed. And you still have to pay for your own clays. I went as the writer and there was a producer and a photographer, a videographer. And so we stayed at a gorgeous boutique hotel called the Stavrand up in the Russian River Valley. Former YouTuber guy and some partners basically flipped this historical home and made a gorgeous hotel with a fantastic chef and team. And after we stayed there a month or two later, I was reading that they were on the top 100 list of new hotels in the world. And so we stayed there. We wrote about that. Wing and Barrel Ranch, visited a distillery, and yeah, it was interesting.
How did you get this gig? Did you pitch it through Award Wallet, or just are you writing content for their site? How did you get in contact with them and kind of work through this deal?
Yeah, good question. So that one was actually the publisher of the magazine contacted them and basically set it up for us and said, hey, we want to do a story about this. Would you go as the writer? And so I went as the writer. And they sent, the publishers are like a husband and wife team. And so it's sort of like, hey, guys trip to Sonoma. Guys can go to the wine country too and have a good time. And so that's kind of the theme that we wrote about. And then, so we went publisher, me as the writer, a photographer and a videographer, and just produced a ton of content. So she pitched it to them and kind of basically said, hey, here's who we are. Here's, you know, our social following that we have. Here's the distribution of the magazine, that kind of thing. How many people are seeing it? And they basically were like, yeah. And some people were like, no. But we were pretty happy with the ones that we set up with.
I think that's a very underrated thing. And people are like, oh, you have to have a gazillion followers in order to get any of these free press trips. But if you are one person, it is hard. Like, I have 100,000 plus people on my Instagram. I think I've done like two or three of these. But if you are a writer for a larger magazine or some other larger media outlet, it becomes a lot easier to pitch yourself. And these magazines are always looking for stories anyway. So if you want to network with somebody in your local community and say like, hey, here are some examples of what I write about travel on my own personal blog that nobody reads. Can I write for you? Then it doesn't matter at that point if you have an audience. They just care, can you write and can you produce content? Sure. Importantly, can you get it in on time?
Yes, that's exactly right. So true. Yeah, because I don't have a huge following, really. I started my account less than a year ago, probably, on Instagram, just for fun. You know, I was like, this is one of those things that I like talking about more than people are like listening to me talk about it. And so I could see that in whenever I'm talking and getting excited, they kind of glaze over and I'm like, oh, okay, we're done. You know, you're done. That's okay. So I was like, let me start this account and I'll just talk to it. And it, you know, whoever wants to listen to it can. And so it's kind of been, you know, slowly growing. It's been a lot of fun. And I've met some really amazing people and just some really fun and supportive people. And just kind of, it was really interesting. Whenever I just stepped into it, kind of that first step, I went to a meetup about a year ago for the first time. So I'm pretty introverted personally. And I told my wife, I was like, hey, I think I want to go to this meetup. And it was an Award Travel 101 meetup. And so I went to it and I was very nervous. And I met some people who were just super kind and really nice. And we were just nerding out about the same things. And I was like, these people are speaking my language. And it was just really great. And so from there, just taking that kind of first step into it, it opened up so many doors. And I found out it's not so intimidating. Like, it's really doable. And the people are really kind and supportive.
I think it also just brings out kind of that social butterfly tendency of introverts who are like, I didn't know I could talk with 50 people all night and not be tired afterwards because, oh my God, points. When you were getting into points, was your wife on board or did you have to do a lot of convincing to convince her to get into the hobby?
So a good question. She was a little skeptical at first. She was a little worried. We both just sort of naturally are the type of people who were averse to debt and have always been pretty financially responsible, never really had debt in our lives, really, except for our house. I was a little bit into Dave Ramsey for a little while. And then I was like, man, I just can't get on board with the credit card thing because it's just, you know, leaving money on the table if you're not leaving opportunity on the table if you're not using them. So she was kind of indifferent really about it in the beginning. I didn't have to do a lot of convincing. And then when we started actually taking some of the trips, she was like, oh yeah, we can do this. Oh, you want me to sign up for a card? Let me know what you want me to get. I'll happily get it. And so she was a very willing P2. And as our travel has evolved, she's even more willing. As we start traveling in business class and staying at some really nice hotels and things like that, she's like, okay, yeah, let's do this. So
in the beginning, when you were redeeming your points, was it mostly like as a cash offset to say, okay, this trip would cost $2,000. We can save 1,000 of it by just applying points. Or did you wait until you could figure out how you could get award tickets for 6 people? Because that's hard. Like that's a very difficult thing to do.
It is. It is hard. Most of our travel in the beginning was domestic. We didn't do a lot of international. And so Southwest was one of our go-tos, you know? So it was usually fairly easy to find availability on Southwest. But in the beginning, I did sort of offset it, you know, with like cash. I would cover charges with points or I would book through the portal, things like that. I think I even one time with an Amex card, it might've been a platinum card before I knew what I was doing. I use points to cover the annual fee, that kind of thing. The worst, maybe mistake I made probably was right after I got the Sapphire Reserve 100K offer, there was a Hilton car that also had a 100K offer. And I was like, ooh, I'm getting that. So I got it. And then I realized, oh, these points are not the same as Chase points. And then it gets worse. I didn't even hit the minimum spend to get the bonus. I was like, oh, I'll just not even do that. Because I didn't know about the 524 either. There's so many mistakes in that. Like, it was terrible. And so I just let it go. And it took up a spot for 2 years. So a lot of mistakes in the beginning, but I was not really redeeming them for max value. I wasn't really trying. I think I was intimidated. I thought it was too complicated, too complex, took too much time maybe to figure out. Since then, I've realized, man, there's so many resources out there. There's so many people willing to help that anybody can really do it, you know?
Yeah.
It was just hard in the beginning.
So as you kind of evolved through and eventually figured out, oh, we can get some really good redemptions out of these points. We can fly six people in business class. How did you do that the first time?
Yeah. So the first time we did that was actually earlier this year. We flew our family of six to Europe in business class. We flew Singapore business class from their fifth Freedom flight from Houston to Manchester, England. And so the way that came about was just, you know, over the past couple of years with the pandemic, we didn't travel very much and we collected a lot of points with P1 and P2, you know, player one, player two. My wife and I collected lots and lots of points. And so kind of went through that season of really maximizing points. And then once we had a lot, I was like, we could really do something with this. Let me find out where we could all go. Found a few different airlines that would actually have space for six. And so one of them was Singapore. And at the time, that flight was 72,000 points. It's gone up since then, but it was 72,000. With the transfer bonus, it would be 54,000 per person one way, plus $5.60 a person. And so there are some business classes out there that are fewer in points. Most of them are higher taxes and fees, but I was kind of trying to reduce my out-of-pocket because there's six of us. So the 54,000 with the transfer bonus and the $5.60 meant that we could fly all six of us to Europe in business class for a total of about $34 out of pocket. A lot of points, but about $34 out of pocket. So that was pretty amazing to me. And it was really too, like from a family perspective, to me in my mind, it's like, okay, this is fun. This is bougie, right? But it also was strategic in the sense that I have small kids and I have, you know, I have a teenager now. And so they're varying in age ranges. And I thought, it would be really nice if we could get to Europe after that overnight and not just kind of waste a day being exhausted. So part of it was strategic in that I wanted everybody to be able to sleep, have a decent night's sleep. And so we all had a bed, we all had some good food, a little bit of dessert, wind down, and then sleep for a few hours. And it actually worked great. My youngest, he slept through breakfast. He slept so well. So when we arrived, we felt okay. We didn't kind of just waste a day. So it was amazing. But since then, it kind of sent me on a hunt to find, you know, what else could we do? And so like KLM and Air France, there's been some availability in business class. They have a really interesting thing where you can book your business class tickets and then kids can get a 25% discount on their tickets, which is pretty cool. And then I've found a lot of BA, so British Airways. One of my favorite ways to fly to the Caribbean is using British Airways Avios to fly American Airlines. And so that has opened up my world a lot. And this year we've been to Cap Cana, Dominican, and to Mexico that way. Also use BA to fly to San Diego and maybe a couple other places. But it's one of my favorite ways to get to Mexico. It was, I think, from airports in Texas, in Austin where I live, it's about 9,000 miles to fly there, British Airways Avios to fly to Mexico. So that's a killer deal. And they often have at least seven seats in economy. I don't know that I've ever seen seven in business, but seven seats pretty regularly I find on British Airways. I also found that Aer Lingus, that also uses Avios, they regularly have four business class seats available on a lot of their international routes. And so flying home, and I'm not sure if you'll want to share this or if I want you to share it, but flying home from Europe, I booked, I didn't have six business class seats. So I booked two business class on Aer Lingus and four economy. And the plan was my wife and I would split. Halfway through, we would swap seats in business with one of the children. And so we get on the plane, we're flying. She starts out in the back. I start out in the front. I go to the flight attendant and I said, hey, you know, I want to switch to my wife. Is it okay? Thinking she'd be like, yeah, it's totally cool. She was like, oh, we can't do that. And I was like, whoa, no, you can't tell me that. This is going to be really bad. And so we had internet on the plane and I'm texting my wife and I'm like, oh, she said we can't do that. I'm really, really sorry. If I would have known, I totally would have let you come up here. And she's like, no, 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 it's totally fine. This is your thing. She's really amazing. She's like super supportive of, you know, me pursuing all this. And so she's been really amazing. So she was very cool about it. Like, it's totally fine. We're fine back here. Everybody's just on their screens. We're good, you know? And so she was really kind about it. She might have given me a little bit of a hard time afterwards, maybe deservedly, but that was one thing I learned, and maybe a fail on my part, was that you can't switch in the middle of a flight, at least on Aer Lingus. They won't let you. But the flight attendant was really sweet. She was really nice. She was like, I can get her some snacks and I can get her some, you know, maybe some drink coupons and things. So she sent her back a few different things. And I went back and talked to her a few times, just kind of checking on her, feeling guilty that I was sitting up front. But she was really cool about it. So only four on Aer Lingus, four business class seats on Aer Lingus.
You could send your teenager back there next time.
I didn't think of that. Oh, man. I totally should have, yeah. He could have taken care of the kids.
Or just send the little kids back there and be like, you can fend for yourself.
Totally. Totally. Yes, that would have been much better. Much better.
Any other airlines that have particularly good award space or family policies that large families would find really valuable?
Yeah, so I touched on Southwest earlier. And for domestic and some Caribbean and other destinations, they're really amazing. Companion Pass is hard to beat. My wife and I have kind of switched off having it for the past probably 6 years since around the time I started. And they're just super great for family travel. You know, they've got the family boarding, which is awesome. So that everybody sits together and it's not like, you know, Spirit where you either buy the tickets or some people don't. And then they end up separated and it gets a little awkward. But they're free bags. They have an awesome change cancellation policy also. So kind of one of the things that I've done in the past, when Spirit entered our market in Austin, I booked a trip on Spirit and I was a little bit afraid because, you know, they have a reputation and I didn't know. I'd never flown them. So I booked a flight with Spirit and it was to catch a cruise. So if you miss the, you know, if your flight doesn't make it, like you're in trouble because you're going to miss the cruise, right? So I'm like, I can't miss the cruise. So it was to Miami or Fort Lauderdale. And so booked a flight on Spirit and I booked a backup on Southwest. And the Spirit flight had a layover in New Orleans. And I was like, okay, I'm not canceling. I booked actually a backup from Austin and a backup from New Orleans, just in case on Southwest, because you can cancel it like 10 minutes before the flight leaves and get a full refund of all the points and all the cash and everything, the taxes and all that. So that's my little Southwest hack, is I use them as a backup often if I'm flying maybe one of these ultra low cost carriers. And I guess that leads into one of my other thoughts, is like, don't be afraid to fly the ultra low cost carriers. We've done that many, many times. And, you know, if you buy the tickets at the airport counter, you can get a discount and it can be pretty significant, especially if it, you know, it adds up if you're buying six tickets. And so round trip on Spirit specifically, so the ultra low cost carriers, Spirit, Frontier, Allegiant, those carriers. If you buy on Spirit, if you buy at the airport counter, you can get up to $46 round trip discounted off of your ticket. And so we've flown to Orlando, Florida round trip, $30 per person. Gone to Chicago round trip for $46 per person. And these are like at good times. They're not like, you know, crack of dawn or like, you know, red eyes or anything like that. They're great flights. And they've all been really good. I mean, I've heard people having, you know, some issues with Spirit, but we've, you know, pretty much had good experiences so far. And actually, one of the other things that I've done is I have a text group of friends and we all are kind of fans of these low-cost carriers. And so we text each other anytime someone's going to the airport in case one of us needs to buy tickets. So, because it's just such a good deal. And like I said, $46 times six, that adds up, you know, when you're buying tickets for your whole family. And so don't be afraid of the spirits of the world and the frontiers and the allegiance.
When you guys pay in points instead of cash, how are you earning this many points between you and your wife? Is this all sign-up bonuses, or is it just we have four boys and they eat a lot and we spend a lot on food, or how are you earning those many points?
So I'm player one, right? There's player one, player two. And so my wife is the willing player two. She's happy to get whatever card I recommend, but she's not really involved in any other part of it. She will often very lovingly text me or call me and say, hey, what card should I pay for the braces with? Our kids were getting braces. What card should I pay with? So things like that, like maximizing the spend in each of our different categories, or we're pretty much always working on a sign-up bonus or two, because we do have a lot of expenses with four children. I also have a pretty good-sized business spend, and so that helps with the minimum spends and the sign-up bonuses. My wife also runs a health and wellness coaching business, and so we have some spend with that also. And so running everything through those credit cards, always working on a sign-up bonus. And then we utilize different things like combining and pooling points. So Chase, you know, allows you to combine points with someone else in your household. They also allow you to combine points from personal and business cards all in one giant pool. And so if I'm earning, you know, if I'm working on a sign-up bonus, maybe for an Ink Cash, 75,000, then I refer her, get a 15,000 point referral bonus, and then she's working on the 75,000 sign-up bonus. All of a sudden, we've got a ton of points plus the referral. And then we combine those all and we can book together. So we do that. And then family pooling too with like British Airways. So, you know, a lot of airlines allow family pooling, JetBlue, KLM Air France, Lufthansa, Emirates, and then, like I said, British Airways. So pooling our points together really helps us to maximize and leverage and just have enough to book six tickets, because it's often really difficult. But I need to get into more of the stacking. Like, I think I'm missing out probably on some more opportunity there. But I do use some of the shopping portals, Rakuten, Simply Miles, and some of those others. But most of our points come through sign-up bonuses. And then maximizing each purchase.
I can't believe we've already recorded more than 100 podcast episodes. It feels like we just started yesterday, but we've already covered so many great points and miles strategies on this show and have many more to come. If you're new to this show or looking to level up your points game quickly, I offer a bunch of resources at geobreezetravel.com/start here. It includes links to free consults, free trials to some of my favorite points tools, and also links to services like group coaching, which start at only $5 per session through the Patreon. Again, that's geobreezetravel.com/start here, which I have linked for you in the show notes. And speaking of the Patreon, this week's Patreon shout out goes out to Alexandra. Thank you so much for being a part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community. I know we've talked about different airlines that have good award availability and some that are great for different family policies. How about hotels? Any travel hacks there that families could really use?
Yes. So we are Team Hyatt. We are big Hyatt fans. Hyatt Globalist is amazing. And so we often stay at Hyatt's. I've found that it's even worth it if we have to get two rooms. So there are some Hyatt properties that would allow a family of six, right? So there's the Hyatt Place and the Hyatt House. Those often have rooms that will fit six. A lot of the others that are a little bit nicer, maybe the Grand Hyatt and some of the others, the Park Hyatt, they won't allow six. And so we end up having to get two rooms. And this is another place that Hyatt really, really shines, is that they have the family rate. And if you book one room and you need to book a second, you can call in and ask for the family rate and get up to 50% off. And so it's really, really helpful in that respect. And so we love Hyatt, and the properties, yeah, are amazing.
Hyatt offers a family plan rate. And this is if you reserve a second room for children 18 years old or under. So if they look like they're about to cross the age threshold, they probably have some kind of ID if they're over 16. So that's how they would check that way, because you can't just do this if you have four adult family members. Like, I can't have me and my husband and my parents and get the 50% off room, unfortunately. So it is really tailored to when people have children that they are traveling with. And I'm reading a frequent miler article right now that says It can also be applied even if you have discount codes like with AAA. So that's really nice to know too. You will not earn Hyatt points on the second room, but you will still be eligible for points or elite credit on the first room and any items charged to your room. So charge everything to room number one. And you can also do this with award stays. So if your first one is booked on points, you can do the second one where you're paying with cash 50% off.
Yeah, great deal. Great deal.
Cool. So any other tips? I know we've talked a little bit about hotels, some airlines. Any other tips for just traveling with large families in general? And when you have four children, some of whom are very small, some of whom are teenagers.
Yeah. So real quick with about Hyatt again, we've started to enjoy the all-inclusives and gone to a couple this year without kids, but we enjoyed it so much, we would like to take them back. And so one thing that I did learn recently, and I haven't actually done it, is with the all-inclusives, typically you book for two on points, and you can book for four or more, book the kids on points, but it's usually a better deal if you call in and you can pay a cash rate for the kids, about, depending on the property, maybe around $100 a night, and get a pretty good deal there, save some money on points, or save some points instead. So, okay. So bonus tips, so some other things that we kind of do to really leverage points and miles and credit cards and things for our family, since we have such a large family, is lounge access. So lounge access, it sounds bougie, right? But my favorite card for lounge access is the Capital One Venture X, especially for a family. And so a few reasons for that, you get free authorized users. So you get two guests first. Let me say you get two guests with the Venture X. And so I have the Venture X. My wife has a Venture X. So we can each guest in all of our children and we can all get in. And it sounds bougie, but again, it's one of those things kind of like flying business class. Like there's a practical element that's really helpful, and it's buying food for six people in an airport is not inexpensive. Getting it in a lounge is amazing because it's included. And so I love the Venture X for that. One sort of little hack that I did there with the Venture X is that because you can get free authorized users, and those free authorized users can also get access to Priority Pass, the lounges, I got my son a card for two reasons. One, to help him build credit now that he's a teenager, but then two, to get that Priority Pass. But what I did with that is you can put that Priority Pass in anyone's name. So I gifted that to my parents, the Priority Pass. And so now they have it because they travel a lot, but they would never buy it for themselves, but they would use it if they had it. So I did that for them. Another thing that we did, so we went to Europe this summer. I was, my wife and I are outnumbered. And so with four kids running around, London and Scotland and Ireland, I was a little nervous that, one would just run off or wander off. And so we lost one at Disney World one time. But the Cinderella stepsisters found him, thankfully, near the carousel, and he was okay. So I was a little worried about going to Europe and going in the tube and getting separated and all that. And so you've heard of people using AirTags probably for their suitcases. Well, I found this little clip, basically, that you can pin it to their clothes. And so I put an AirTag on each kid just so we wouldn't lose anyone. And so, I don't know, that was a helpful thing for me, I think, just as we traveled, and just give me a little more peace of mind, and we wouldn't lose them. So some other things I like to do, like when we were in London, I told my wife, I said, hey, let's go to Princess Diana's playground. And she said, we did not come all the way to Europe to take our kids to a playground. Why do we need to do that? And I said, well, no, it's not just for that. But what I really want to do is help them become global citizens, in the sense that let's just take them to play around other kids and like experience life in this other culture. Like, what's it like to be a kid in London? Is it different? Is it the same? Are there, do you play the same? Like what's different? What's the same? That kind of thing. Or what's it like to be a kid in the Scottish Highlands or in Morocco or wherever you're going, what is it like? And so it's really a value to me to expose them to those kinds of things in the different cultures, so that they can know like, oh, there's a lot out there. And we're all really different, but in some ways, we're not so different, And so things like that, I really like immersing them in those kinds of environments. And so that was really fun. One other thing I've gotten a lot of value out of in my travel recently is my cell phone plan. So I switched to T-Mobile not too long ago for a few reasons. One, they have free international data, which has worked beautifully in all the different places that we've been. It's really awesome because you land in a country like the Dominican Republic and you immediately get a text. Hey, we see that you're in the DR. You got this much data and calling and everything else. Hey, we see that you're in Ireland. Welcome to Ireland. Here's what you got. And so free data. And that's really helpful as a parent when you travel with your family to be able to talk to your family back home, but also when we travel without our kids. So we've gone a few times without our kids to different places. And so it's really important for us to be available in case something happens or for us to be able to call back home and make sure everything's going okay, you know, that kind of thing. And so that really helped. But then also T-Mobile is now, I got, and this is not an ad for T-Mobile. I don't mean for it to be. I'm just really impressed with them because I was on a plane today, on American Airlines flight today, and free Wi-Fi on the plane. So now they've got Wi-Fi included on a lot of American flights, Alaska flights, and some United flights. Not all of them, but they're getting more and more. And then as a parent also, you can get a credit for Netflix, which is great to keep your kids entertained on the plane.
And T-Mobile Tuesday deals.
T-Mobile Tuesday. I know. I haven't taken advantage of any of those yet. I need to figure out what's good there.
I don't even have T-Mobile. I just live in T-Mobile Tuesday FOMO because a lot of accounts I follow are just like, check out this T-Mobile Tuesday deal. Free sandwiches. And I'm like, I want a free sandwich. So yeah, yes. T-Mobile Tuesday. I don't even have that service.
That's hilarious. One other thing I would say, you know, as a family traveler, things can change quickly. Things can change often. And so one thing that we always do, almost always do, is instead of buying round trip, we buy one-way flights. So we, that way, if something changes, you know, before our return, we can say, oh, we need to change that. And we don't have to cancel the whole thing, right? So we buy one ways. Also, you can book a different airline. Maybe you can book one on points and one on cash, you know, if you're kind of intimidated or a little bit nervous about jumping into this. So buy one ways.
All great tips. So if you had to sum up all of your points knowledge, all of your experience with traveling with a large family into your single best tip today for listeners, what would your number one piece of advice be?
I would say just try. I feel like with a family, so often we can be intimidated or just have these limiting beliefs that stop us from doing these things that we say that we want to do. And so maybe ask the question, like, what if the opposite were true? If you're asking, what if my kids melt down and it's like the worst flight ever? Well, what if it's the best flight? What if the opposite of that were true, right? Or it's just too complicated or I'm not organized, but what if the opposite of all that were true? You know, it could be an amazing experience. And we've had some amazing experiences. We've had some hard ones for sure, but we've had some amazing ones. So I would say, just try it. There's amazing creators out here like you and like so many other accounts that are willing to help and just really excited about it and love helping people. And so just try.
Great tip. And speaking of great tips, can you give a shout out to someone else on the internet who listeners should go follow for good points and miles content?
Yes. One of my favorite accounts recently is Points and Miles Doc. She is on Instagram. She's on Twitter also. Her account on Instagram is at Points and Miles Doc. And she actually was a friend of mine before I really got into Points and Miles. She's a surgeon living out in LA, but she is just an expert in this subject, has taken so many bucket list trips on different business and first class airlines and gone to Antarctica and Giraffe Manor and all these amazing things. And she's just really, really knowledgeable and has a passion for helping people in healthcare avoid burnout by taking their vacations. So she's really amazing. I would also say the Travel Points Dad is a guy that I've really enjoyed. He kind of has a way of just making learning about points fun and uses visuals and food and different things. And so he's really interesting too. And he's another dad doing it. You know, there's not a ton of us. And so I got to shout out another dad.
Yeah. And where can we find you on the internet?
I am Let's Go Travel Dad on Instagram. And that's pretty much it. So at Let's Go Travel Dad, that's me.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Jared, so much for coming onto the show today. We learned so much. This is going to be so valuable for anybody who's thinking about getting into points and miles or leveling up their points and miles and thinking, oh, this is just really hard because I have a large family. What can be done? So many great tips today. So thank you so much.
Thanks. Love being here chatting with you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!